It's a joy to be back here again and look around and see so many friends. I want to read tonight with the subject matter that's before us for the whole week, and if the Lord will, for next week again, of the coming of the Lord Jesus. I want to read those majestic words in the 14th chapter of John. John chapter 14. If you have your Bibles and care to turn with me, or maybe you have your Bible and would much rather I just read the scripture. John chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May the Lord just add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word. Just a word of prayer. Would you join me in prayer, please? O God and Father, as we bow in thy presence this evening, this first evening of this gospel crusade, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou by thy Spirit wilt be our teacher, that we may realize that thou hast something to say to us in our generation. Grant, we beseech of thee, that should there be amongst us some who found not the Lord Jesus, we ask that they may find him tonight. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. If there is one thing I'm persuaded of tonight, it is this. That as I move from country to country and town to town, never has the temper of the nation been more disquieted than it is in the days in which we live. It was so of my country. I am persuaded it is true of your country as well. That men and women are looking around and saying, oh God, where are we going? What's happening? I think every one of you will agree with me that there seem to be five things that mark our modern day. It seems to be filled with trouble. Or again and again, men and women come to me saying, oh, Mr. Ford, I'm so troubled. I'm so worried. I'm so upset. And trouble seems to mark this whole world of ours. Whether we look at it internationally or whether we look at it individually. But there's something more of a trouble. It seems to me that as I look around, treachery seems to mark the nations of the world. There is not one of us who find ourselves tonight with anything but a heavy heart as we think of the hostages away yonder in Iran. Those of us that move from country to country, we know something of the treachery that seems to abound in the political affairs of men. You wonder whether a person's word can be trusted. You open your newspaper and you turn away saying, what is right? What can we believe? Treachery seems to mark the day in which we live. But if trouble marks it, and treachery marks it, tumult marks it. Why, it seems but yesterday I was away in the land of once we called Rhodesia. Yet I look there today, and what a stirring of the nation there is. What a beating of hearts and a wondering as to what is going to happen. And turmoil seems to mark our day. But if treachery and turmoil and trouble marks our day, would I not be right in saying also that trickery marks our day? I am utterly amazed when speaking to businessmen, when speaking to scholars as well, when they tell me of trickery that's found, excuse me, in the commercial world today. But there's one other thing, and I think you will grant me the trials, Mark Mardin. All of us have to face the trials, day by day, of our living. But never let us forget this, that this was always us. The thing that marks the day, marks the day of the Lord Jesus. Why, when I think indeed of trouble, I remember the Lord Jesus starts this chapter by saying, let not your heart be troubled. Paul, there was a Peter, there were disciples who wondered whatever the Lord was talking about. They were troubled in heart. The Lord Jesus says, I've something for the day of trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. Why, when I think indeed of treachery, I am not unmindful that there was gathered with those disciples one who was called Judas. When I think of the treachery that lay in his heart, the willingness to sell the Lord for miserable pieces of silver, then I have to say that Jesus Christ had a message for those who not only were filled with trouble, but those who had in their hearts treachery. Jubal, oh, what turmoil there was. Why, those disciples dared to look at him and wonder what he was talking about. And one of them said, we can't follow him now. One of them even looked at him and said, how can we know the way? But Jesus had a message for them. But if there was indeed trickery, why, it was so in the Lord's day. Those disciples were gathered in the 14th of John. There were no others but those disciples. But on the outskirts, as it were, of that crowd of disciples were found the high priests, who were seeking indeed to take the Christ of God and to pull him from the place that his disciples were giving to him, to lead him away and nail him on a cross. Oh, what trickery! When I think of trial, oh, what trial! What trial the Lord had. As he looked at those disciples, will they believe? Will they follow me? Will they do that which I asked them to do? And yet, in the midst of all that, there was one who had a message to them. And as I look around this world with all its problems, and I think of the disquiet in the hearts of men and women, I thank God that I've come here to Augusta with a message from one who has something to say in the midst of all the problems of life. I thank God I have a Savior who looks at you and me and says, but remember this, I will come again. Remember this, that men and women may despise and reject me, but men and women have not finished with me. When I came from the height of glory into Bethlehem barn, so I will come. I will come again. And I thank God that in our day and generation, we can listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, and we can ponder them, and we can go from this place saying, even so come, Christ Jesus. When we talk, think indeed of this tremendous statement of the Savior, there are three things we must face, and I want you to face them with me tonight. The first is most important. And if you are a thinking man or woman, you will face it. I dare suggest you will ask it. For it's the form of a question. The first thing we have to face is simply this. The credibility of the man who said, I will come again. How important it is for us to consider his credibility. Can we trust him? Who is it that says it? There are many men and women who've made all sorts of statements during the history of this world. Men and women that we laugh when we hear what they say. But as we think of this one, we're going to face the question, how about his credibility? But then we're not only going to think of his credibility, We're going to think of his concern. How concerned is the Blessed Savior with those people who find themselves surrounded with trouble and treachery and all the other things we mentioned? How concerned is he? Suddenly we hear him say, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm so concerned that I want you to understand this, that if my credibility passes the searchlight of heaven and the searchlight of earth, then I want to tell you that no one could be more concerned than me, for what I have to tell you is truth. And then I want you to notice not only his credibility, not only his concern, but I want us to listen to his comments. I want us to hear those who didn't grasp all that he'd been saying. How can we know the way? And I want to hear his comment as, looking at them, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. First of all, his credibility. The first question I must ask when I think of the credibility of the man who's speaking, the first question I must ask is, who is he? Who is he? Who is this peasant from Nazareth who dares to stand before men and women and say, I'm going back. I'm going back where I came from. And if I go, I will come again. Who is he? And my Bible leaves me in no doubt as to who he is. My Bible dares to tell us that that man that walked the pebbly beaches of Galilee and the cobbled streets of Jerusalem was none other than the creator of heaven and earth, God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Why, when I think of his stoop on heaven, and I remember that down in the Bethlehem barn, he came, then my heart is stirred. I know not, friend, how much your heart is stirred. I only know this, that God could not have loved you more than he did love you. God could not have done more than he did do for you. I have said many times, and I dare to say it tonight, that in this the Christian faith is absolutely unique. Of all the questions I get asked, when every year I visit the University of Cambridge to hold Bible readings with the undergraduates, of all the questions I get asked, this is right at the top of the list. Mr. Ford, what's the difference between your religion and ours? Between your faith and ours? Why, I may be speaking to someone who has come to my country and naturally he is a follower of the Islamic faith. I may meet folk who find themselves engulfed with the thoughts of Buddha. I find many of them that come from the land of India, and they're Hindu with a multiplicity of gods. And they look at me and say, what's the difference between your faith and our faith? Well, here tonight, let me say what I've said a legion of times, and I don't want you to forget it. The difference between the Christian faith and every other faith is very marked. Every other faith, you name it, and I will quote from its holy writings. Every other faith tells us that the sinner has to seek after God. The Christian faith is the only faith that tells us that God came to seek after the sinner. Oh, what a difference. Down from his glory, ever living story, my Lord and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. And I gaze at that name of Bethlehem barn, and I say, oh, bless God, God has come into the world. And he's come into the world to show us that he cares. He's come into the world to tell us there's no need for us to be afraid of God. Oh, friend, isn't that the message of Christmas? Isn't that the message of Bethlehem barn? Men and women, when they think of their sin, and they think of the holiness and the righteousness of God, rightly they feel me should not. How can I fall into the hands of a God like that? The message of Jesus Christ is this. There's no need for you to be afraid of God. Have you ever met anyone who was afraid of a baby? Oh, I've met folk and I've been one of them who's been afraid of their handling of a baby. You know, when my grandchildren were brought to me and handed to me, I wasn't sure which end to hold them up. I was a bit afraid how I handled them, but I wasn't afraid of them. And oh, bless God, whoever you may be, Jesus Christ tells us there is a way whereby you need not be afraid of God. He came as a man. Oh, he lived as a man. For I remember this, that as Jesus Christ went to bat, the Bible says he went to bat doing good. He satisfied heaven. For God looked down to see if there were any that could understand, that could seek after him. And God said they'd all together become healthy. There was none that did good, though not one. He looked, as it were, down the avenue of time into your heart and my heart, and he dared to say of us that we sinned and come short of the glory of God. But oh, blessed be his name. There was a time when heaven looked down on this scene, and God saw a man who satisfied him, and he split the heavens quite over and cried, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight." All heaven says, listen to him, hear him, know what he has to say to thee. I say, he not only satisfied heaven, but oh, he subdued death. So I see him as he went his way to Calvary's cross. And I see him as they take him there upon the cross in ignominy and shame. He died. But we cry tonight, oh death, where is thy sting? We find that it's locked in the bosom of the Savior. Oh, praise thy victory. And down from the heights of heaven, there comes the answer, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, the wonder of it all. I fellow you, my friend. That is the only advantage of being the preacher. You can stop in the middle and have a drink. Thank you. But not only have I a Savior, not only is this one who says I will come again, the one who satisfied heaven, the one who has subdued death, for through his death, we can have life. There's no need for us to fear the grave, for Jesus Christ was confident. Oh, praise God, the one that satisfied heaven, the one who subdued death, is the one who has shut hell. Why, I see John, as gazing upon the Savior, he turns aside, that we might hear the Savior's voice. I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive again forevermore. Amen. And I hold the keys of death and of hell. I hold the keys of death and of hell. And I have a Savior who satisfied heaven. A Savior who subdued death. A Savior glory to his name and shut hell for the man or the woman that will touch him. Who is he? God the Son. How incredible are his words. My Bible tells me God can't lie. My Bible simply tells me God cannot lie. When I stand back and I hear him say, if I go, I will come again. And I say, oh, God, thank you. I'm waiting for thy coming from the mountains of the sky. I'm waiting for Jesus, for he's coming by and by. Oh, what a scene. Friend, not only do I see his credibility, and I realize that God is, but I see also his concern. As he looked around those disciples, and methinks as he looked down the avenue of time and saw us, he realized there were three things that men needed. They needed happiness. They needed health. They needed hope. And all this statement, I will come again, how perfectly it be tiny. It needs, man needs happiness. I love the words of the 32nd Psalm, don't you? Happy is the man, happy is the woman, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. And I think of he who on Calvary's cross died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, that he might make us those whose transgressions were forgiven. All my sin, all the bliss of this glorious hope, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I'll bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it's well with us all. Oh, the wonder of it. He gives happiness. Can I ask you something? Are you happy? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Oh, he came that we might have happiness. Health? Why, my favorite verses almost in the Bible. A found in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. We look around this world with all its trouble and treachery, with all its trickery and trial, and we hear the Savior say, fear not. If you'll trust me, I'll be with you. I'll give you happiness. I'll give you health. Ah, but hallelujah. Oh, praise God tonight. He says, I'll give you hope. If I go, I'll come again. And what hope is found in Jesus Christ? Oh, I don't find myself hopeless tonight. I find myself looking for the day when I shall see him. Looking for the day when his promise will be fulfilled. Perhaps the day. And I thank God for a hope that burns in my breast, makes me say, oh Lord, I thank thee for thy promise. If I go, I will come again. Oh, I think of his credibility. Who can doubt the words of the one who came from heaven itself to earth, went to Calvary's cross and died for us, was raised from the dead, and today in glory is seated as our great high priest, as our advocate with the Father, as the one who one day will return. Oh, we cannot doubt his credibility. None of us who know him could doubt his concern, as he saw those disciples and loved them and said, happiness and health and hope can be yours. Ah, but if I think indeed of his credibility, and I think of his concern, I must this evening say a word about his promise. For the Lord Jesus, having said, if I go, I will come again, face the question of one Thomas. Face the question of none. Face the questions of Peter and the other disciples that surrounded him. And there he looked at them and said this, I told you, if I go, I told you I'm going back to my Father's home. You wonder where he is, and you wonder, how can you know the way? Then let me tell you this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In coming nights we will be taking some looks of the coming of the Lord. We've been thinking of why he's coming and when he's coming and the circumstances that surround it. But for tonight I want to ask you something. Not just is the Lord coming, I know he's coming. But are you coming? Are you going to come to him? Are you going to trust him? For the Lord Jesus left us in no doubt in his promise. of the tremendous fact that we can know the way to come back to God. How can I get back to God, men and women say? Here's the answer. I am the way. Paul crying, men and women, how can I know about God when I come back to God? I am the truth, said Jesus. Oh, but if I know how to come back to God, and I know something of the truth of God, how can I live for God? Jesus says, I am the light. Oh, what a comment. How can I know? How can I get back to God? I am the way. I am the way. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Many years ago, I heard a story from a dear, dear friend. When I was first converted, I had a longing desire to serve God in the land of Angola. God never made that possible for me to serve in Angola, at least as a missionary. Thank God I've been there since, and stood almost in the very place I intended to go. But I was hoping, when first converted, that I might be able to join Mr. Fred Alford. And that was the father of Stephen Alford, whose radio programs many of you listen to. But I was hoping to go with Fred Alford away yonder to Angola. And of course I went down to see him. He was living then in Newport, in South Wales. Come home on furlough. Was unable to get back because of the war. I went to see him, and I heard him tell a story that his son uses so frequently, but I heard it from the real source of the story. When Fred Alford first went to Angola, things were extremely primitive. They are now. But he wanted to go from the place where he was found, a mission station called Beulah, away into the very heart of the bush, that he might win some chokeweed friends for the Lord Jesus. But there were no mats, and there were no roads, and the bush was extremely thick. He said to one of his African brethren, he said, do you know the way to get to the village where these chokeweed are found? And the man said, I know. Would you take me? I'd love to take you. And on he went on his journey, following this dear African brother. As they went along, Fred Alford was sure they were lost. They got into the middle of the bush. There was no track. There seemed indeed to be no way through. And he turned to the man and he said to him, are you sure you know the way? The man, as he looked, threw off the robe that was across his shoulders, showed in his arms scars. Know the way, said he. You see these scars? These were the scars I made when first I cut the track that leads to this village. And you don't know it, but Mr. Alford, let me tell you this. It isn't just a way. I'm the way, for I made it. I look at Calvary. I see he who bears the nails in his hands. I see he who bore the nails in his feet. And I say, Lord, thou art the way. Thou art the way. Oh, I want to trust. Is that what you're saying? If you want salvation, you'll find it in Jesus Christ. The way to God, Jesus says, I am the way. The way to know God, I am the truth. Why, the Master has just said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Isn't it wonderful to know that the more we know Jesus Christ, the more we know about the whole Godhead. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. All of it. In Christ. Not only does he give us the answer to how can I come to God? How can I know God? How can I live for God? He does not stand in front of us and say, gaze upon me. I am the example to show you the way to live for God. He says, I'll come in your life, and I'll live my life through you if you'll let me. I'm the life. Oh, if the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ, what about the third chapter of Ephesians? That Christ may dwell in our hearts, my faith, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, to know Jesus Christ is life, and that eternal. On Calvary's cross, never forget, he gave himself for us. And by his glorious presence, and to die in more of Christ, he gave. I thank God tonight for the credibility of the one who says, I will come again. I thank God for the concern of the one who says, I will come again. For if it's not just in judgment coming, he will come in judgment, as you will see in the coming night. But he wants to come for us to take us from him with him as his blood-bought children. Longing for the day of the rapture, when he will catch those that love him to be with him. We'll be thinking of that tomorrow night. Oh, my friend, may I behold this tremendous fact, not only his credibility and his concern, but all his promise. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you and I can enter into a life that death will never touch. We'll receive a person who has promised never to leave us or forsake us. His time is an eternity. Oh, friend, won't you trust that saying? Now, I don't know. I look around and there's so many of you here. And I see you coming to the service tonight with your Bible. God bless you. I wonder tonight if there are some here who only hold their Bible in their hands. They've never taken its truth and the one of whom it speaks into their hearts. If you haven't, will you do it tonight? Will you receive Christ tonight? That you may be ready to be received of him in that day to come. I finish with one simple comment. It is this. The older I live, the longer I find myself sharing with men and women the truth of the Bible, the more persuaded I am that this is the truth of the Bible. The faith I give to Jesus Christ in time is the faith that Jesus Christ will give to me in eternity. Oh, friend, will you receive him tonight? Will you trust that Savior said, I will come again? Will you receive him tonight by saying to him, Lord, come now. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And God grant that you will. For his name's sake. Amen. We're going to sing together a lovely hymn. I've got to find the number first. I put it in my pocket somewhere. Anyway, here we are. Hymn number 142. Hymn number 142, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in the precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord. I am sure that every one of you here tonight will accept this from an Englishman. You will not misunderstand me. But oh, my friend, whoever you may be, don't sing along. Don't sing, I am coming, Lord, unless you're going to come. But if, having come, you want to come closer, all singing and meaning. And if tonight you're willing to come to Christ and take Him as your Savior, singing as you've never sung it before. Lord, you are coming one day, but I'm coming tonight. I'm coming to Thee. I'm going to take Thee as my name. Hymn number 142, I am coming. Here as we sing this last verse, if I could ask you, it is not my custom to make appeals. I don't usually make offers. I feel that the Word of God and the Word of God alone can touch your heart. But I cannot help but feel in a gathering tonight there are some here who are willing to come to Jesus Christ. As we sing together this last verse, could I ask, that those of you that are going to trust the Lord Jesus, you are willing to take Christ as Rose, and I'm not going to stand pleading. Oh no, I wouldn't do that. But I do want to say this. I hold in my hand a few copies of a very wonderful little gospel book, God's Way of Salvation. Not my way, I haven't got a way. God's way. And if tonight there is someone who didn't stand as you should have, if you want to trust the Savior, I'll be here in the front. Come and ask me for one of these gospel books. I will introduce you to a trained counselor who will lead you to Jesus Christ. All friends, come to Him tonight. Shall we pray? God and Father, we hear again ringing in our ears the words of the Savior, if I go, I will come again. Grant, we pray Thee, that each one of us may realize his credibility. His utter concern for men who are facing troubles and trials and trickery of this sea. Grant that we may be willing to come to Him, that in that day when He comes, we shall be ready. Speak then to all here assembled, as we part one from another, but not from Thee. May the love of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, be the enjoyed abiding portion of all who love the Lord, in sincerity and in truth, now this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.